If we are as joyous as Sarah at the news of her son Isaac, if we are as determined to be united as Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem as they rebuilt the city walls, if we live our lives glorifying God as David, if we are as accepting of God saying who we are and God's plans for our lives as Gideon, if our lives are as transformed as Paul, or if we are held as accountable as Nebuchadnezzar, if we live our lives as selflessly as John the Baptist and forgive as completely as Joseph, if we are as devoted as Ruth, as expectant as Elijah, if we know every rule and each command and are willing to risk our lives, grounded in that truth as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but have not
love.
We've done nothing. Mean nothing. And have not truly lived. You know, this week we're ending our series, or maybe we're just beginning our series, on the wheel. About our vision of WCBC over here on this wheel. All these different words we've been looking at for the last 12, 13 weeks. And the last word, and I really wish I could say in some way, shape, or form that I planned this, that I, you know, was going to leave love at the very end for some miraculous reason or for some purpose that I had in the midst of it, but I didn't. It was just one of those things that kept getting put back and put back and put back, which is kind of how life works in a lot of ways. Have you noticed that? We can do a lot of things, but that love thing we seem to kind of put back. I was looking for a great character in the Bible that we could look at that would be an amazing example of love. As a matter of fact, I came in on Monday morning nice and early. I know that sounds a little weird, but I came in nice and early on Monday morning trying to figure out just the right character, and Melissa came in and Nathan was in, and I was sitting down with Nathan. I said, you know, this person had, you know, the people who did their homework and gave me these little pieces of paper with all the different words, and I'd gone through each one of those every week, and I looked at Nathan's, and I looked at David's, you did, and Karen, you did, and all these people, and Diane, who did these great jobs on these homework and these different characters for love. And I was like, Nathan, I'm just not sure which character I should be looking at for love. And I struggled with it. And Tuesday came along, and I was still thinking about it all day on Monday and all the things that I was doing. And Tuesday morning came along, and I was doing my regular routine I do on every morning, it seems like. I get up and I do my necessity things, and I sit down for a little bit and try to get my head a little bit clear, and then I have a cup of coffee, and then I go out and do my chores, and then I come back in, and all this time I usually do the exact same thing every morning, not exactly, but pretty close, every morning. For some reason, I don't even remember how it happened, I didn't do my morning study. When I do my morning study, I always do it with a Bible. I don't use my phone or anything like that. For some reason, somehow, which is very unusual, I left my phone sitting on the kitchen table when I went out to go do my chores. This is honest goodness truth story. It can't get any more real than this, all right? So I left my phone sitting on the kitchen table. Kathy's gone for work. Reagan is on vacation, so you think she's getting up early in the morning? Ain't happening. Gabe? Ain't happening, all right? So my phone is completely left alone on the kitchen table while I'm out doing chores. I come back in from doing chores. No joke. All right, so my phone has got that little thing like all yours does that if it's not used in any way, shape, or form, it's what? It's black, right? It has no screen whatsoever. You have to press a button in order for something to come up or some screen to be actually showing on the phone. Everyone agrees with that, yes? Absolutely? And it has to be touched in some way. It's not like it's going to stay on for the whole hour that I'm outside doing chores, right? Okay, so I walk into the house. I look at my, I literally noticed that I had forgotten my phone. I didn't miss it the whole time I was doing chores. I walked in the house. I see my phone sitting on the kitchen table right where I left it, and it's on. It's on. Bright screen. I was like, that's weird. So I went over to look at my phone. And on my phone is some Bible verses. Okay? Now, that's not so unusual. Well, it is, but it's weird. But it wasn't just the Bible verses. It was the Bible verses twice. It was ESV Bible verses, on my phone here, and then right below it was the exact same ESV. This is kind of, you guys are looking at me like, who is this weird guy? So here's the exact same verses a second time on the same screen directly underneath it. Like, here it is again, okay? I don't even know how to do that on my phone. In fact, I tried to recreate it later on the week. I still have no idea how to do that. Here are the verses that were on my phone when I came in twice on my phone. This is where it started. It was in 1 John chapter 4, which my wife chose to read this morning also, beginning at 16. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Those are the verses right there. I got a little freaked out, because there is no other character in all the Bible who exemplifies love like God. And he goes a step further above exemplifying love. As a matter of fact, God's word says that God is love. His very essence is love. Everything about him is love. Without that love, we have nothing. And here's the part that gets me. If you go back just a little bit later in verse 7 that Kathy started reading with, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." The very essence of love, the reason that we're able to love, whether we believe in him or not, love comes from God. All love comes from him. Without God, there would be no love in the world. It's from him. It's a gift God gives to humankind. Love. The reason that we're able to love is because God gives us the ability to love. And I think we're very unique as a species, as a human being, because God gives us that great gift of love. And now some people look at it and say, well, you know, I don't even really want to get into this again, because I got so many letters that week. It was just crazy. It was about 9 years ago. And I said, your dog does not love you. Guys, remember that? Some people are like, yeah, I remember that. I know. I will concede, okay? I will concede this. If God chooses to make a donkey talk, he can, if he chooses, allow... I'm having a hard time saying it. Can you tell it? For brief moments, love is unique to you. It's unique because you were created in the image or the essence of God. And sometimes I think we forget that. I think we get so caught up in all the things of the world that seem important and are important, that we forget at the very core of who we are and why we are and what we are. It comes from a gift of God called love. It should be and needs to be the motivating factor of all that we are and all that we have and all that we will ever be. I was trying to think of a great illustration. I've been trying to think of great words to explain this thing of love that God has given to us. We can go to 1 Corinthians. We can let love is patient, love is kind, love is all these. I'm trying to really describe the love that God has given to us, the amazing, incredible gift that he has given to us, and how we are to use it in such a way to bring him glory. Because if we don't use the love that God has given to us, if we don't do all the things that we do and say all the things that we say in order to bring glory to God and point it back to him, then we're not using it in the way that God designed it to be. I'm trying to get this illustration in my head. I don't know if this is a very good one or not, but let's say that someone has a $10 million and he comes up to you and he says, Jacob, I've got this $10 million and I'm going to give it to you, and I just want you to give it away. I just want you to go bless people with it. I want you to help people with it. I want you to heal people with it. I want you to do whatever it is. And if you run out, Jacob, if you run out of this $10 million, you come back and I'm going to give you more. And I just want you to go out and bless people and just pour it into their lives and see their needs and see their wants and just give it to them. Sounds like a pretty cool thing, right? Just go out and just do it. Just give like you've never given before. Don't worry about it ever running out, because I've got more. I've got a printing press back here. We can make more. Now, Jacob can go out and he can do that, and he can do it in such a way that everyone thinks Jacob is giving away all this money. That Jacob is meeting their needs. That Jacob is giving all this amazing cash to all these people, and he's just such a great guy and fantastic. And there's a little halo maybe over his head, and he walks around and doors are open for him, and he's greeted, and he's just so welcome because of this great gift that Jacob is giving away. But if Jacob never acknowledges, here's the thing: if Jacob never acknowledges that there is someone behind him that's replenishing the pot, that's continually giving to him, if he never acknowledges, if he never makes it known that all this that he has been given has come not from himself, it's not by his own ability, not by his own strength, not by his own earning power or anything like that, if he never acknowledges to anyone that he's giving this financial windfall away to, is he really being honest about his life, about the generosity? You see, a part of this passage in 1 John talks about love is from God. He's pouring it into your life, whether you want to acknowledge him or not. And it's an amazing thing that God's love is so complete. His essence is so centered around this love. He's going to pour that love into you, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept him or not, whether you acknowledge him or not. He loves you so much, even while we are still sinners, even while we are still denying him and cursing him. God's love is so complete, so great, is such a part of his essence. He is going to continue to pour his love into you all of your days. You know why? Do you know why he does it? Because he loves you. It doesn't matter what we've done or gonna do. He just loves. And he loves completely. And he does it perfectly every day. I forget that. I forget way too often. How much, how completely, thoroughly, intimately, God loves me. And it blows my mind. I can't even wrap my mind around the extent of God's love for me and for you. And the reason I say that is because so often in my life, I get to doing something that he doesn't want me to do because of his love. He doesn't want me to worry. You hear what I'm saying right now? He doesn't want me to worry. He doesn't want me to fear. He doesn't want me to be so concerned about my life that it takes my attention and my energies and my resources away from looking and trusting in him. You know, there's the most familiar passage. What's probably the most familiar passage in the whole Bible? Wow, we're in consensus. John 3:16. For God so what? Loved the world that he what? Gave his one and only son. So that we who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But turn with me, because there's another part of that we're missing, that we're forgetting. And it kind of drives me a little bit crazy. And there's a neat connection between that verse and what we just read in 1 John, where he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It all hinges on Jesus. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. They didn't acknowledge him, didn't acknowledge Christ. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Let me read that to you again real quick, okay? Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. I guess I never thought about this, but if we don't accept Jesus, if we don't accept the one and only Son whom God sent into the world, if we don't accept that he is the Savior of the world, he is God's ultimate expression of love, because he sent Jesus to die for our sins while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. He was providing for us in an amazing way through Jesus. If we don't accept Christ as Lord and Savior and allow Jesus to become a part of our life, if we can't accept that love of God, there's no way we're going to express to others, just like Jacob, there's no way we're going to express to others where this love, why this way that we're living makes any difference, and it points back to God. If we live in such a way that if we lived in such a way that we would receive all the glory, that everything I'm doing is because of me, it's me, I'm giving, I'm showing, I'm serving, I'm doing this, and all the credit goes back to us, then we're living a lie. Listen to me, we're living a lie. The talents that you have, the skills that you've been born with, the ability to think, the ability to shoot a hoop, the ability to ride a horse, the ability to do anything that you do is not your own. It was given to you by God because of his love. His love. And when we don't acknowledge that, we're living a lie. If we don't acknowledge God and his love and his grace and his provision, we're living a lie. And when we're living a lie, actually, we're living in fear that we're going to be exposed, because deep down inside, we recognize that I'm not that good. And my motivations aren't that pure. And when it says very plainly here in John, when it says everyone who does evil hates light, the evil that it's talking about is not like killing somebody. Really, the evil that we're doing in this world is, if we don't acknowledge God, if we don't give him the praise, if we don't give him our life, if we don't acknowledge that he is the Lord of Lords, the God of gods, if he is not the one who's providing and doing everything in our lives for us in such an amazing way, if we don't acknowledge that, that's the evil. Because there's nothing greater than denying the one who created you. Who does evil, hates the light, denies the God, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And in so many ways, we live in fear. I got to share this with you. Struggling this morning, trying to figure out the words that I was going to say. And honestly, it wasn't just the words that I was going to say. I'm struggling with a lot of things that are going on in my life. Is anyone else struggling with anything in their life? Come on, be honest. Are you struggling with something? Oh my goodness. I'm struggling with so many different things, and so many things seem overwhelming, and so many decisions that I feel like I need to make, and things that I have to do, and some things I just know I should do, but I'm holding back from doing them because I'm afraid of what will happen if I actually do them. Does that make sense? I'm afraid of what the possibility is of something happening if I do something. That's just crazy. I'm starting to think how crazy I'm really become, because if I'm living in that much fear, then who am I trusting in? Am I trusting in myself and my own ability to get myself out of the mess if it becomes a mess? Or am I talking too fast and too crazy? Does anyone else understand what I'm saying? Is it just me? It's driving me crazy. And there's a decision I've been trying to make for the last week and a half now. I mean, it's just been driving me nuts. It's trying to say, man, do I actually do this? It doesn't make sense. I don't think I should. The consequences are here and there and everywhere and all this other stuff. And I'm trying to study love, and I'm trying to study this fear thing and this trembling and all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm literally in fear about this decision. I feel like this is stupid. What am I doing? I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do it. It was a financial thing. I'm going to tell you right now. Weird. Sorry. We're just going to do this. I am not exaggerating. I am not exaggerating. Just like the phone on the table. Just like the phone on the table. I literally said, I'm done with this. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to trust him. He'll take care of it. Done. My wife might be mad at me. Done. I'm just going to, don't be mad at me. Done. Kid you not. Within 2 seconds. 2 seconds. Can I say this again? Within two, literally, my hand had not hit the desk of saying, it's done. My phone dinged with a text message from someone. Out of the blue. God just said, you think you gave? Done. And I started weeping because, not because of the provision, but because there is a God, listen to me so closely, if you hear nothing else today, there is a God who created you, who loves you, and is so intimately involved in every moment of your day. He knows you. He loves you so much, and I don't know how he does it, because there's a whole bunch of you. He loves you so much. He knows what you're struggling with, and he wants you to trust him. He wants you to believe in him. He wants you to recognize the source of your life. He holds your present and your future in his hands. completely. And he loves you. And all he really wants is that you acknowledge him. Recognize him. And receive that love that he has for you. And give it away. 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 And he will continue to fill you up with his love, his grace, his mercy, his provision, his safety. Everything that he has, he is going to pour into your life. But he asks you to just keep giving it away. Jesus gave you one commandment. Love one another. Love one another. Never stop loving one another. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done. I'm done. What are you going to do about it, Nathan? I'm done. I can't change your minds. I can't change your hearts. I can't change your actions or your words. But he can. But you have to acknowledge him and let him be God. Let's stand and sing.